Hi, it's Janice here, and today I'm talking about how to invent your very own behavior management strategy. The question is this: how do music teachers like you and me find ideas, resources, and the energy for teaching? How do we teach in such a way that inspires our students and inspires ourselves on keeping on going day after day? That's the question, and in this podcast, we give you the answers. My name is Janice Tuck, and welcome to the Weekly Spark for Music Teachers. So welcome. This is the place where teachers who teach music get that little dose of inspiration, the energy, plus a few teaching tips and resources all along the way. Sound good to you? Well, this is where we aim to make our music classes more fun every single week with this podcast. It's great to be here talking to you again on the Music Teacher Spark right now here. And here we are in February already. Can you believe it? I love February. This month, I'm loving that we're still working really hard at the moment on creating version 2.0 of our K-6 curriculum. We're nearly complete now, so it's so exciting, and all I can say is it's starting to take shape in the interface. It's absolutely enormous compared to anything we've ever done here before. So at the moment, we're working hard to expand on what used to call the oral section of the curriculum, and we're replacing it with an area called skills, which encompasses so many more facets to learning music, with so many more 5-minute games and activities, including listening, writing, reading, and so many others. Games are such a powerful motivator for K-6 students, so it's exciting to see that come into fruition in a more meaningful way, and I can't wait for you to see it. As usual, mailing list members get the first look at everything, and existing Fun Music Company curriculum members get all the new updates absolutely free. So go to funmusicco.com and join our weekly free email list to get all the full Fun Music K-6 curriculum details if you haven't done so already, so you can be part of it all as the new materials start appearing. This month is also a massive month because schools have been back for a few weeks now here in Australia and a long time in winter now overseas in the US. So the chaos and busyness starts to settle in now and the teaching and discipline starts to get really real. And here in Australia at the moment, we have the Taylor Swift frenzy coming on right now, where millions of people are attracted to concerts. What an inspiration she is to so many millions of girls and women and adults right now. Just to think, less than 2 decades ago, she was that young girl, just like the little ones we have in our classes every day. Someone who didn't have things go her way she wanted in school, and she went into her bedroom and she wrote songs. And look where that got her to, surrounded by friends everywhere, doing something that she loves and makes real thoughtful impact with. A few years ago, I wrote down Taylor Swift's story in a Facebook post, so I'll share that with you in the show notes in a way that you can share it with your classes. Her story really reminds me that music is such a gift to share with our students. And so it's times like these when there's so much turmoil in much of the world and there's so much busyness everywhere in everyday life, remember that learning is a privilege and music is a gift. And sometimes it's easy to forget that. But I understand that sometimes it's hard to focus on positives at such a chaotic teaching time as well. I only just ran into someone the other day and she was describing her day to me. She turned to me and she said something I've heard thousands of times before, but it really resounded with me this time. She said, "Kids are just not the same these days. They're just not well behaved anymore. They're so loud. Basically, I'm at my wit's end." And this took me back to a time when I was struggling to find my own answers with behavior management. For me, the warning sign came in a slightly different way, though, because I was sitting at my desk one afternoon after the school bell rang, getting myself in the order for the day or the week ahead, and I could hear thundering ringing in my ears. So naturally, I looked up towards my technology in the room. It must have been the audio equipment, right? I'd set it up. It must be. So in other words, I was in blame. Blame, blame, blame. So if you're like me and you've blamed too, this is probably the time to put your fingers in your ears and do the, you know, the blah, blah, blah thing that you don't want to hear. So if you don't want to hear it, you don't have to. Because what I've experienced about blame before is when you're complaining or blaming, whether you're blaming yourself or blaming others, you're not going to be in that place of being the teacher role model that you need to be. Basically, when you're blaming, you never get what you want. And what the research tells us is that blame is a discharge of discomfort or pain. It actually has the opposite effect of taking any responsibility for yourself or for any others as well. So when you're blaming, no matter how nice you think you are right now, every unkind word, every angry tone or form of blame that escapes your lips and does 5 times, that's 5 times the amount of good that your kind words and action might have done. Blame is terrible for relationships. It's terrible with the people around you. It's terrible for your students. They know it when you think it. They know it when you do it. They know it when it comes out. And when they do it, when you do it, they do one thing. They hear it and they tune out. They check out and they disconnect. However, we're all naturally wired to blame other people or circumstances when things go wrong, right? This is something referred to as the fundamental attribution bias. We tend to believe that what other people do is a reflection of who they are, rather than considering there might be some other factors influencing their behavior right now. So when I got up and checked their audio equipment, I noticed it wasn't even on. However, that ringing and that headache continued. It just got louder and louder. And that's when I realized I had several loud classes that morning. And for several days, things had been generally loud in my classroom. I also noticed that earlier in the day, I talked to another teacher and my voice was getting scratchy. And I'd been talking over the kids. But productive music classes are meant to be loud, aren't they? That's what I was saying to myself at the time. The noise in my classroom had been so loud over those past few weeks, though, it had caused my ears to constantly ring. And at that time, I was only 22. So naturally, my thinking was, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to my hearing when I'm like 50? And what was I doing to my classes, those students, and their delicate hearing at those ages? However, my scary truth and realization was that it wasn't the audio equipment's fault, like I thought in the first place. The ringing was only coming from one place, and that was my own ears. However, I did need to make some radical changes to my behavior management plan and to me, and I'm so grateful that I made those changes to my overall classroom strategy before it was far too late to help my own hearing and my students' hearing over all those years. Because overcoming blame is hard. It means we have to face the real problem. We have to talk about it. We have to admit that we made mistakes and we have to find solutions. And that's why most people stay in blame. But that's not for you and me, right? Because we have to be problem solvers. We've got a job to do. We're here to create impact. And you can only do that if you're prepared to face some hard truths and try a lot of new things. So you want to know the other good news that came out of this? The changes I made to help hearing the classroom actually improved my classroom management preparations too. And looking back from where I am now, one of the main philosophies I focused on to help me out of blame and help me focus on positive improvements in me was to make these changes was the philosophy of the three S's. Now, the three S's are something I learned years after by professional development coach Tony Robbins, and it consists of three S words. They are state, story, and strategy. All of these work hand in hand as one dynamic together. You can work on just one of them at a time, or you can work two, or even all three. And if you use all three of the S's, you'll definitely make progress towards your new goal. And boy, was I hungry for that change. My ears were ringing. They led me to further notice where there were days when my voice changed and I talked way too loudly and far too much, and it didn't make me feel well in the end. So already my first S, that story, needed to change. And it was changing. I had to change my story from loud all the time to loud makes me and my students feel unhealthy. I would tell myself that I'm not doing badly, that I haven't failed. I just need to upgrade my systems here. Loud all the time is not good for anyone, was another thing I said to myself. And everyone has the right for their own space and health. The key word here is if you change your story, you can change that result, and you've got to be hungry to change. Which led me to become aware of the second S, and that is state. And the state refers to the mental and emotional state that you're in at any one time. So right now, are you happy? Are you excited? Or are you feeling a bit down and depressed? Now, because I had become a little bit more aware of the situation, I noticed my voice was scratchy, my ears were ringing. I noticed that I had a tendency to come into the classroom quite excited rather than what I needed to be, which was settled. This is the first thing I needed to practice, waiting for classes. I had to get used to, especially with the older classes, to settle them down rather than jumping in and getting started with all the exciting action or straight away. So this puts the learning in your students' hands. Behavior management consultant Dr. Bill Rogers has an excellent role model in his videos. He's got an excellent account of how to use simple, direct, empowering statements, which he calls directive language, and calmness to settle louder classes down. So I'll leave a link in one of those videos in the show notes. And he's got so many books to draw from too. So it might be something really great for you to watch. I also had a school principal at the time who role modeled to me the importance of connecting with each child every day. She actually shook every child's hand in the entire school every morning on the way into school and asked them positive questions. In great state, mind you. For me at first, it seemed a little bit odd or strange to do this, but over time, I greatly learned to admire this action. So I decided to try my own version of this too. Because as a music teacher, I didn't have time to shake a child's hand every day as they entered the class. That would be a bit too much. But what I did have time was to tell them how happy I was to see them and how I made more effort to reinforce the positive behaviours before even entering the classroom, which improved my state from the outset too. So I was in the more of that happiness rather than and settled rather than excited. So I'd say things like, "It's great to see you today, first name." And I made many of my children feel noticed and I could make them smile before they even entered the classroom. So we've covered two important S's already, state and story. The third S is called strategy. And that's where you try lots and lots of different things out. This is one of my favorite bits. A lot of people just look to strategy though. And they look to strategy to make it better. However, without that great state, and without those realizations and without that compelling new story that you build, often the strategies just won't work on their own. So here at the Fun Music Company, we've got lots and lots of strategies that we've put together through our own experiences. And we do this by also talking to all the best in music education. And we have done that over the last 17 plus years now. So I've got a few to share with you today in the show notes, plus keep an eye on this podcast as I share more and more strategies for success. One of them I've got to share with you today is called A Simple Strategic Classroom Management Plan, specially designed for music classes. Now over the years we've written it down and now we publish it together with probably one of our loudest ever lessons, and that is bucket drumming. But really, this management plan works for any classroom music lesson, whether or not you're allowed to even, not even allowed to sing in the class because you've got other classes around close by, or whether you're playing loud music and loud instruments such as bucket drums or using microphones or even amplifiers. So I'll be sharing that for you in the show notes in case you might be interested in seeing the actual layouts, phrases and philosophies and rule setup used in more detail to set that up in your classroom. Out of all the strategies I tried in my classes, one of the biggest insights that I learned in music teaching was to put the instruments away or have them completely away from what I called the floor area. That way we have two areas of the classroom. I could have the entire class that never saw instruments in some lessons and other classes that could move from the quieter floor space to the instruments again and they could come back and forth again and again. Most classes use both areas, the floor and the instrument area. But it became so much easier for me when the playing became too loud because I could bring the children away from the loudness, away from the instruments, and we could come and have a rest. We'd sit on the floor to regroup. We'd get ready with something else. We'd pre-frame before starting again on the instruments and we'd then head back on. So it was much more manageable when I had these two areas. So in hindsight, my ringing ears was actually a wonderful gift looking back on it now. And now as I'm well over the age of 50 plus years, my ears are just fine. The ringing did go away after all those initial realizations, and now I am glad that I had them, even though it felt terrible when I had them at first. I'm glad I saw the truth. I'm glad I faced it. I'm glad I asked myself new questions. And I'm glad that I was able to make a new reality for me and my classes. And with the three S's, I found just one changing one of these could have worked. But for me, I needed to change all three of these in order to get my outcome of better noise managed music classes. So this week, I'm challenging you to be a light and not a judge. Instead of going around judging yourself, especially like I did in all those years back and others, find yourself something that you can change and learn to become a light in it. Because it could be your best gift ever. So what's an area of your life that you could use the three S's in this week? What new outcomes do you want for yourself? Is there an area you must change in your own, in your health, your teaching, or your relationships? And how is your new story going to look? Or also, what are some ways you're going to show up and manage your estate, even if something new does not work out? And where can you look for new strategies? And then go ahead and journal about your results that week. You know, make some noticing. Take some time to notice what changes you are seeing. What S changed your outcome the most? And which one of the S's is the most important to you? And the great news is that once you can experience their learning, you become that light, that great role model for your students as well. Learning about the three S's might just become one of the best gifts that you could ever give to them in their life going forward as well. So if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast today, please leave a review because it really helps and it connects us as a community. There's other teachers out there who could use this if they're struggling right now. And sometimes one thought, that one distinction, that one insight can really help. And then tell them what you've used, how you've used it, and that can help them to get started too. And if you want to get in touch with me directly, you can email me at janice@funmusicco.com. And make sure you also head over to funmusicco.com and subscribe to my weekly free emails, because then you're really empowered. You have all the resources and you'll be linked with the resourcefulness you get here by listening to this podcast. So I look forward to talking to you once again next time. And in the meantime, share your stories with me. And I look forward to sharing more insights with you again next time in this Music Teacher Spark podcast, where that little insight, that little idea, that tip or spark, if you like, can light up your music teaching and empower you to create the impact that you and your students deserve.